This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're going to be talking about family law, and we're going to be focusing on mediation of family law issues and disputes in the dissolution of marriage. My guests are San Francisco Superior Court Family Law Commissioner Marjorie Slabaugh, retired. She's a certified specialist in family law, and she's currently doing private judging with her office in Fremont. In 2010, the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California awarded her the 2010 Judicial Officer of the Year Award. My other guest is Gregory Maple. He goes by Greg, and he's a certified specialist in family law and a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Maple, DeLacy, and Musallam. Did I get that right, Greg?
Close enough.
Close enough. I'm going to keep trying. Funding for your legal rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar of California. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar, by the Estates, Trusts and Estates Section of the State Bar, and the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. And welcome to both of you. Very nice to have you here. Let's do this. Not everyone is familiar with mediation. Essentially, what is it? Commissioner, you want to tell us? What is it? What's the difference between that and, for example, going into court?
Well, what we call going into court usually is litigation. So mediation versus litigation, that's what we're going to be talking about. So mediation means that hopefully with the assistance of a third person like Greg or myself, the two of you, with or without attorneys, can be sitting down at a table and we will talk with one another to try to understand what it is that you want, what it is that you need, what it is that would be fair as between the two of you, and hopefully come to an agreement to settle any of the issues that come up around your divorce process. And once you have a settlement, then that settlement becomes your judgment of divorce.
Which is filed with the court.
And it is filed with the court.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a more informal process than that litigation process where you go into court.
This would cover all issues from property division to spousal support, child custody, reimbursement issues. So it's an all-inclusive process.
Why would someone, generally speaking, why would someone want to go through mediation as opposed to going to court?
Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is to save a fair amount of money, if not a lot of money. I think it's a much more or much less expensive process. Hopefully you finish mediation and you can still be, if not friends, at least amicable with your ex-spouse.
Would you say this, that through a mediation process, generally speaking, the greater number of, let's say, parties who've gone through mediation will end up for the future having a better relationship with each other than if they go through litigation in court?
Certainly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd agree with that.
Because that's the nature of court. We're going to litigate and try to go for the jugular, I suppose.
Well, you know, there are times I'll get and Commissioner Slabaugh may have this experience as well. You get a call a year or two or three later from mediation clients, and they're still friends. They just went to their child's graduation mm-hmm. or wedding, and they dance together. And it's really heartwarming to hear that.
Wow. That's really, really nice to hear.
And that is so not what litigation does.
Yeah.
Litigation will naturally create more hostility than mediation does, simply because it's a win-lose situation mm-hmm. when you go into court. You're trying to win something, and somebody's a winner and somebody's a loser. But in fact, in family court, if you go through litigation more often than not, you're both losers. Because it costs a whole lot more money, it costs a lot of emotional turmoil. Your children certainly are affected by that hostility between the two of you. And so the litigation process is really difficult for people to go through. It's extremely mm-hmm. difficult. Mm-hmm. Mediation isn't necessarily easy, but it's certainly a kinder, more gentle kind of process. And as Greg said, the hope is that you can remain at least amicable through that process.
What about someone who decides he or she wants to go through mediation? How do you go about trying to find somebody who's a mediator and that you feel comfortable and confident that this is going to be a positive thing for you? What would you recommend, Greg?
Well, I think usually people get a referral from a friend or mm-hmm. a relative or perhaps a professional they work with, an estate planner or a tax lawyer or something. Mm-hmm. But I think it's wise to not just talk to that one person. Quite often, maybe talk to two or three mediators, maybe even get acquainted meeting with them 15, 20 minutes to make sure you're picking the right person for you and your personality.
How do you, though, as a layperson, know that this is the right person for you? How do you
qualify? I think
qualify
it's a comfort level.
If your stomach doesn't feel like you have butterflies, that's a good sign.
Yeah, that's a good sign, right.
I'm serious about this.
I think quite often people will come in for that get-acquainted meeting, and you can sense the tension. They're uptight, they're worried, they're scared.
Sure.
And quite often they walk out of that and they're much more relaxed, and mm-hmm. you've hopefully set them, put their mind at ease that the process
In doing this kind of homework for someone who obviously is faced with a disillusion of marriage and you want to do, let's say, meet with two or three mediators, will generally mediators do this if it's a 15 or 20 minute type of meeting? Will they do it without a charge, generally speaking?
Most do.
Really? That's good to know. Very good to know. That would be, I mean, I know you practice in San Francisco. Would you say that this is a statewide approach?
I don't know about statewide. I would say Bay Area-wide.
Bay Area-wide?
Yeah.
Okay. What comments do you have about that, Commissioner?
Well, my experience is different than Greg's in that I do most of my mediations or settlement judging procedures where there are attorneys involved, where attorneys are representing both of the parties. And so the attorneys figure out who they want to come in for a settlement conference or a mediation process. And so I rarely have a sort of try me out kind of period.
Mm-hmm.
The attorneys themselves either know about me or have experienced
my... I presume they're the ones who have asked if you will be the settlement judge.
Yes.
As opposed to their clients.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. So... once they decide that I'm to be their settlement judge, then we don't have a tryout period.
Mm-hmm,
we just I send them my attorney's fee agreement,
mm-hmm.
and we set up a date and meet for the first time.
What about this, though? How does someone determine whether he, she, or they will want to also hire an attorney to be involved with the process? I mean, I presume, Greg, you are recommending that if someone wants to go through mediation, and certainly if they are not going to have an attorney, that you would want to choose a mediator who's also an attorney, or am I wrong on that?
Well, I think, at least from where I sit, I hope they're choosing someone who is supportive of the mediation process, mm-hmm. has experience in the mediation process, as opposed to someone who simply litigates 100% of the time. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. Mm-hmm. It's just I'm not sure that's a good fit for me.
But you're saying this should be someone who is an attorney as opposed to someone who is not an attorney. Am I right?
Correct.
And how does someone determine if they want to hire an attorney to be involved with this process?
You mean as representing me as a client?
Representing the client,
okay.
Yeah. Whether the attorney is going to be in the meeting with the mediator in the mediation process, or perhaps meeting with the client separately. Mm-hmm. How does someone determine whether or not he or she wants to hire an attorney in addition to wanting to go through mediation?
That's something I would raise early on in the process, maybe even in the first conference call before we even have a first mediation.
Mm-hmm.
Are you hiring lawyers, yes or no? If so, who are they?
Mm-hmm.
If you want one but you don't have one, do you need a list of names? Or maybe I'll send an email out with 10 or so mm-hmm. recommendations.
Greg, do you ask your mediation clients to have at least consulting attorneys?
I prefer it. I think mm-hmm. they're better protected that way.
I think most mediators do mm-hmm. prefer that they have at least consulting attorneys.
Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes people
What is that? Can you define for us what you mean by that,
sure.
consulting attorneys?
What that means is that I've hired an attorney, but I don't want that attorney to be part of the mediation session.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go in there by myself.
I see.
But if I ever have any questions along the way, I'm going to be able to call my attorney. I'm going to be able to get feedback from my attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have an agreement, what I think is the agreement, I'm going to take that to my attorney for review, just to make sure that I haven't missed something.
When you say agreement, I presume that's the marital settlement agreement?
Yes, or the terms of the agreement. Mm-hmm. It may not be the full marital settlement agreement, but I'm going to bring a list of everything that I think we've agreed to my attorney, and that attorney is going to go over that with me and help me figure out if I've missed something, whether I'm giving up something that I shouldn't be giving up, whether I should be going after something that I haven't gone after. And I may or may not take that attorney's advice, but at least I've heard from an attorney. And then I go back to the mediation session and I make up my own mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's my decision to make because it's my life, but at least I've checked it out with a lawyer who's supposed to know the legal process and all of the law. And that's a consulting attorney.
What about this? In terms of selecting an attorney as a consulting attorney, you know, there are attorneys who in the family law area are litigators. They go into court a lot. Others get involved with mediation or maybe some of each litigation and mediation. Do you have, Greg, some comments about someone hiring an attorney to be a consulting attorney, but who is really does a lot of litigation work? Do you have any comments about how effective and how productive that may be, if at all?
It can be productive, and it can also be effective. I think keying on something Commissioner Slabaugh said, if they remain as in a consulting role as opposed to a much more proactive role where they take over the case, then it's fine. I mean, they're certainly knowledgeable. They understand what may or may not happen in court. They know the law. So the advice the client is getting is going to be excellent advice. It's more of can they change their hat from courtroom litigator to I am now a
That's what I'm concerned about.
And some can. Some can, sir.
The real problem is when they can't change their hat and they dissuade the party from making his or her own decisions and instead try to impose what would happen in court upon that client. And then you might as well be in court. You might as well be litigating. So what I worry about is that the litigator who does not fully support the mediation process and understand that decisions need to be made by the client, I worry that that can be a detriment.
And this is where I will often step in as a mediator and remind the clients that the attorneys work for them, not the other way around. And get that advice. Make sure you understand the terms, understand your upside and your downside, but you make the call. You're in charge.
It's sort of like getting a second opinion from a doctor. You've heard it from the mediator.
Yeah.
If the mediator is willing to express what the law would do, that's a good question for you, Greg. Whether you actually do that expression.
If asked, but, I do.
And then you hear it from the mediator. Then you go back and talk to your lawyer and see what the lawyer says. And then somewhere in between there, you make up your own mind.
In the mediation process, I'm assuming that usually the mediator is meeting with both parties, the husband and the wife, or if we have a
domestic partner,
a domestic partnership, both parties.
Normally, usually, we're in the same conference room. Every now and then, we'll separate and do what I call caucus style mediation. One person in the conference room, the other usually in my office, and I just go back and forth between the two. It's rare, but it does happen, and usually it's because there's just too much tension in the conference room, or sometimes one party just has a much greater negotiating skill level. Maybe they bulldoze the other side.
And
so I have to break that up.
Oh, that's good. Okay, that's good to hear. You don't let that happen.
I try not to.
Oh, good. Let me let you know, this is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're talking about family law, and we're focusing on mediation of family law issues, disputes, and the dissolution of marriage. My guests are San Francisco Superior Court Family Law Commissioner Marjorie Slabaugh, who's retired, but she's now doing private judging. She's also a certified specialist in family law. My other guest is Greg Maple, a certified specialist in family law with his office in San Francisco, the firm of Maple, DeLacy, and Musilam. Did I get that right?
Musallam.
Musallam. Thank you very much. Greg, before we went on the air, and by the way, for those of you who listen to us live, we will be taking some calls in the second half hour. If you're listening to us in the Bay Area, or if you're listening to us on the internet at www.klw.org, I will give the phone number in just a few minutes. And for those of you who are wondering, when's the next Call a Lawyer night? All right. It's going to be August 22nd. August 22nd, the topic on the program will be landlord-tenant law. But we will have, pardon me, we will have a number of attorneys here to talk with you off the air. And not that I want you to start calling now, because that won't work, but I want to give you that number in case you want to have it for the 22nd, 1-800-525-9917. One of the things that you said, Greg, before we went on the air was that you ask a question generally to your the persons who you're doing the mediation with. Where do you want to be in 5 years?
That was actually the commissioner.
Oh, it was the commissioner. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Commissioner.
Okay. Yeah. I just said it was a brilliant question.
Why? and it is a brilliant question, but why do you do that? What's the point of that?
I think it sets the stage for reminding everybody that we have to look at long-term goals rather than just the immediate fight. We can sometimes get so enmeshed in the moment about I'm going to get what I want, and hopefully this is the process that I'm going to use, without thinking about what that's going to lead to 5 years down the line. It helps me as the mediator or the settlement judge to also understand the relationships between the two parties, and as well as the relationship between the party and his or her attorneys. For example, if when I ask that question, where do you want to be in 5 years, what do you want to have happened by that time, and they just look at their attorneys with sort of a blank look on their faces, then I know that they really haven't had that kind of conversation, and now is the time to start thinking about it. And what's really interesting is that if they have had some thinking about that, being able to keep that goal in mind and then talking about the details about how we work out a settlement right now, I can keep checking back with them. Is this how we're going to get to that five-year goal? Or are we going about it in the wrong way? Can we get there a different way than you're thinking at the moment? So that it helps me, in other words, understand both relationships as well as needs and desires.
How often do you find that it's important that someone who's a perhaps a psychologist or a mental health professional get involved in a mediation?
We see that with custody a fair amount. Quite often we can handle the custody issues in mediation with the lawyers, but other times it gets very complicated, and maybe there are just very complicated issues that perhaps someone who's better trained in children and children of divorce issues should get involved and help mediate those custody parenting plan questions and issues.
And how does someone find someone like that? Is that something that you, in your practice, Greg, if you see that there are these kinds of problems where the parties need a mental health professional, would you make a recommendation of persons who are available?
I would give several names and numbers out. The clients, their own lawyers may have their own thoughts, too, as to who they may want to go talk to.
Any comments on that, Commissioner?
No, although not on that particular process, but most people who go through the litigation process understand that the first thing they have to do when they're dealing with custody matters is go through a mediation process in the court. So it's really quite natural to think about a mediation process for custody matters, and especially with mental health professionals, because most court mediators dealing with the custody issues are mental health professionals. So it's a natural fit, and it's sort of a crossover between litigation and mediation.
For what it's worth, I think that probably happens in less than 10% of my mediations. It's not very common. It's a great option when things get very difficult and tense on the custody issue.
So if someone is serious about wanting to go into mediation and has some very practical questions such as, who do I pay, how much do I pay, what what comments do you have about this so that people understand kind of basically what to expect?
Most mediators charge an hourly rate, mm-hmm. and most mediators request an upfront retainer, mm-hmm. Which gets deposited into a trust account and mm-hmm. gets billed against monthly.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the amounts, you know, the hourly rate amount and the retainer amount differs depending on who you're hiring.
And depending on what the issues are. If it's a full range of issues for everything involved in the divorce action, then the retainer is probably going to be a bit higher.
Mm-hmm.
If you're only going in because you have one issue to deal with, then the retainer is going to be lower. So if you're able to resolve some of your issues all by yourself, between the two of you, then you can probably save some money both with mediation as well as litigation.
I'm always impressed how many people come to mediation with the right frame of mind. They're already talking. They actually are friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately tell them, talk about these issues as much as you can
mm-hmm.
before you come to me. It's going to save you time and money, and it will be much more efficient. And you know what? You're controlling this process. You're mm-hmm. the decision maker,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, back to your litigation question at the beginning, when you're in litigation, you lose that control. You lose the decision-making ability because a judge is going to make the call for you.
I presume then when someone is making contact, this is for most people a very unusual situation, obviously, to go through. For most people, go through a dissolution of marriage, very, very emotionally charged, something that is a major event in one's life. And people aren't necessarily thinking very clearly, I would think, generally speaking.
Depending on how long ago the separation was,
yeah,
that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, if it's been a long separation, that's mm-hmm. one thing, because they've
right.
gotten used to this. If it's relatively not too long
right.
ago, then they're still, I would think, emotionally charged.
And the reasons for the separation or divorce.
Well, yeah. But what I'm wondering is, though, isn't it very important, though, when someone is doing the research for mediators, to certainly ask up front, what do you charge?
Absolutely.
What kind of, do you charge a retainer? And I guess most mediators charge a retainer.
Yes.
You, as a settlement judge, you charge a retainer, I presume,
exactly.
Commissioner.
Exactly. It's
yeah.
called a replenishing retainer,
yeah.
actually.
What does that mean by replenishing?
I
like that. I've never heard that one before.
Is that
what,
right?
What's that mean?
Well, it means that we never get to a zero balance in my trust account.
Oh, I see. I like
so
that.
So when it gets down to a certain amount,
off goes the bell. The bell
right.
goes bing.
Then they replenish it to the
right.
amount again.
Okay. I got what you're saying. All right. So what can they actually, from a practical standpoint, expect once the mediation begins? What, can you set the stage
for us? Every mediator is different. My MO tends to be an initial conference call.
With both parties?
With both parties.
Really?
To talk about some ground rules, to talk about forms, to find out if they've hired lawyers. Has anyone filed a petition and summons for divorce yet?
Mm-hmm.
Have you worked on your disclosure forms? Oh, you don't? You don't have those? Well, let me send those to you.
What are the disclosure forms? What's that?
Yeah, good question. The law requires both parties to prepare and serve on each other a schedule of assets and debts and an income and expense declaration. And they're signed under penalty of perjury, and you cannot get a judgment signed by your judge until those are prepared, signed, and served on the other side.
You can't hold back? You can't hide?
No,
you can't hide stuff?
No, the law is very, very clear about that.
You get in trouble.
Whether you're in litigation or mediation, disclosure is absolute and required. And if you hold anything back, it's not like Perry Mason. You don't get to hold things back and mm-hmm. spring it on somebody at the
gotcha.
Last minute.
You can't do gotcha.
Cannot do gotcha. So family law is very much based on open disclosure between the two mm-hmm. parties, mm-hmm. good faith effort to disclose anything and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's especially true in mediation that's important. You have to have a level of trust, a level of good faith between the two of you to make that mediation work. If there isn't that trust level and that good faith level, I would hope that any mediator would stop the process and tell them, this isn't working for you.
Mm-hmm.
You're wasting your money coming here because you don't trust each other. You're not open with each other. Mm-hmm. You're not disclosing to one another. There's no good faith here. go away, get yourselves attorneys, and fight
battle
it out.
Yeah, go for the jugular in court, huh?
Right.
How do you often have anything like this where you need to say to someone or some persons you're just not right for mediation?
Well, I often phrase it as you need to be careful about where you're taking this mediation because it's going to fail unless things change.
Yeah.
And then I remind them about how ugly and expensive and draining the litigation process is.
Yeah.
And quite often when we've had that little reality check, they're mm-hmm. they're a little more open and trusting and willing to play by the rules of mediation.
Mm-hmm. And Greg, when you have your first telephone conference, is this where you tell them about your fee agreement and what else do you do?
If I haven't before that,
okay.
Quite often that's in the very first phone call or email. We talk about retainers and hourly rates, and I have to send you a mediation fee agreement, and that usually goes out before
and
we ever
you
have
do,
a phone
yeah,
call.
Because the state bar requires this, I believe.
That's my
that you enter into a fee agreement, a written fee agreement, so that the consumer of your services, and that's for you also, Commissioner.
That is correct.
The consumer knows what the cost is going to be. It's really a contract.
It's a contract, that's right.
Yeah,
they both sign it.
That's mandatory, and if you don't do it, the state bar gets very concerned about it.
That's my understanding.
Yeah,
thankfully,
yeah.
I've never had to
Well, that's
out,
good. I'm glad. I'm glad to hear that. Well, for what I want to do, we have about maybe a minute or so remaining in the statewide version of the program before we continue live in the Bay Area, live on the Internet at www.klw.org. Do you have any final comments, Commissioner?
Well, I think it requires a thought process that is an honest examination of whether you're able to do a mediation process or not. It has to be a particular kind of person, a particular kind of relationship with your ex-spouse or ex-partner. Because if you don't have that kind of trust level, that ability to be open, then I don't think you should be looking at mediation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do head for mediation, then you need to live up to that promise mm-hmm. of being open and acting with good faith.
You got to be, in other words, you've got to be honest with yourself.
That's correct.
Yeah. Any final comments? Yeah,
I would say this. I'm impressed as to how many people who call today are at least aware of the mediation option. 10 years ago, I often had to say, yes, you can go the litigation route, but you can also go collaborative law, you can go mediation with lawyers, without lawyers. Now they know that, and I think the Internet has helped them to become educated on that option.
Okay, it's, let me see, it is 728 at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing a program talking about family law issues and focusing on mediation of family law issues and disputes in the dissolution of marriage. If you would like to call in with a question, a comment, a problem that you would like to pose to my guests, the number is 1-415-841-4134, 1-415-841-4134. What I have found when we do programs on family law, that persons are very reluctant to call in because they're either still with their significant other, their spouse or their domestic partner, or they don't want anyone to hear their voice because they're afraid that someone will recognize who they are. So if you feel that way and you don't want to come on the air, you can call in and Martin will take your question. Try to be succinct as best you can, and he'll bring it in here and I'll pose it to my guests and hopefully we'll do something that gets you going in the right direction. Let me just mention to you who my guests are. Greg Maple is a certified specialist in family law. He's a partner in the San Francisco law firm of Maple, DeLacy, and Masalam.
You got it.
Hey, I finally got it. This is good. And my other guest is San Francisco Superior Court Family Law Commissioner Marjorie Slabach, retired. She now does private judging. She's also a certified specialist in family law. Her offices are in Fremont. And did I mispronounce your name, Commissioner? I should have said Slabach. Yeah, pardon me, Slabach. So if you would like to call in, it's 1-415-841-4134. What did I say? people are reluctant to call. They're afraid. There's one person. I think. No, maybe not. But don't hesitate. Call in if you like. If you're listening to us on the internet, it's the same phone number, 1-415-841-4134. Let me just do something before we take our first call, and that is, if you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. You can call your own at 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. Tell them what the problem is. They'll do their best to find someone experienced for you and set up a half an hour consultation for you with the attorney. If there's some reason, if you have a disability and can't get into an attorney's office, I think they'll do their best to try to set up a telephone interview for you with an attorney. And depending on the county, for a half an hour consultation, it could be a low of $25, maybe a high of $35. So that's available to you. Also, there are a couple of websites if you're interested in finding out more. Actually, the State Bar of California has free pamphlets, including one on family law, if you'd like to take a look at what's available. It's www.calbar.ca.gov. And also, if you're interested in finding out about a certified specialist who you think might be someone you might need in one of 11 different specialties, you can go to the website for the Board of Legal Specialization, www.californiaspecialist.org, californiaspecialist.org. So let's do this. Let's start with Elizabeth. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you. I'm calling for two reasons. The first is to share that my brother and, I guess, ex-sister-in-law went through mediation. It was not amicable to begin with, but that they understood more about the service and how professional it has become. They went that route, saved thousands of dollars, and they did it mostly for their children,
mm-hmm.
and it went well. And the second reason I'm calling is because you talked about people not calling on it, and I wanted to thank you for the service you provide to all of us that listen for a variety of legal rights. I learned from you about my own family mediation around my mother mm-hmm. and in disability on a whole different subject, but that you have guests who are so informed and have no agenda. Thank you for your service.
That's true. They don't have an agenda. Thank you, Elizabeth, very much. Yeah, I've been pleased. I've been doing this program for nearly 28 years. And the family law section of the State Bar has been one of the funders for probably about 20 years. The Board of Legal Specialization for about the same amount of time. And I'm very pleased with this. I get a great deal of satisfaction about doing this. I'm a great believer in live radio. I'm a great believer, as you may know, in public radio. I'm not someone interested in commercials. And I think the service that is performed by my guests who are here on this segment of the program and my guests generally is they don't have an agenda except that they want to provide information on whatever topic that they're here to talk about and try to help the public, which is also what the attorneys who come and do Call a Lawyer Night, the fourth Wednesday of the month. So thank you, Elizabeth, for saying that. It's nice to hear that someone appreciates what we've done. So the number is 1-415-841-4134. Before we take our next call, and don't be bashful, by the way, and by the way, if you think you're going to call, don't be putting it off, because once we get to about 5 minutes of eight, it's too late. So don't do that. Let me just mention one other thing that's coming up. It's a week from tomorrow on Thursday, August 9th, at the San Mateo County Law Library. One of the certified specialists who's been involved with this program, Colleen McAvoy, she's a certified specialist in estate planning. She will be there to at noon in the San Mateo County Law Library to talk about advanced health care directives, which can be very important. Naming someone to have legal authority to make health care decisions when you cannot, if that is the case. This is a free lecture. Everyone's invited. You can bring your sack lunch if you want. Again, that's going to be Thursday, August 9th at noon, from noon to 1 p.m. And it's at 710 Hamilton Street in Redwood City, across the street from the Hall of Justice in Redwood City. If you'd like some more information, the number is 650-363-4913, 650-363-4913. All right, let's see if we've got a few people who want to talk to you, and we're going to get to you very quickly. Let me remind you then again that Call a Lawyer Night will be the fourth Wednesday of this month, August 22nd at 7 p.m. And so if you can hold on, hopefully you'll be able to get some help from one or more of the attorneys who will be here. Matthew, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted to relay my experience of going through a divorce currently. And trying to do mediation, but my spouse, not for whatever reason, not wanting to do that. It was a lack of education on the matter or what, I'm not really sure. But she, you know, decided to go the litigation route and get a lawyer and all that. I've represented myself in the matter, which I have consulted with a lawyer at a minimal cost. He just kind of consulted me on what I should do, my best interest, and I found that to be a really good route to go. And, you know, I'm not sure what her lawyer bill has been, but I don't know. I think that some people think that there's a lot to gain, or a lot of, you know, they want to get as much money out of the deal as they can, and which I understand totally. But when it's not there, it's kind of an unrealistic pipe dream for them.
Matthew, so. is your dissolution of marriage case still going on in the court?
Yes, it is.
It is. And so do you know if you are going to be faced with perhaps being ordered to pay your wife's attorney's fees, or does she have a decent job herself?
They did request for attorney's fees at one point, and it seemed like the judge was reluctant to do so, just because there's no money there really that I have to pull from.
Do you have a job?
Yes, I do.
Do
and
you?
That's,
okay.
That's the main sticking point of the divorce, is that we own a business together. And I'm in control of the business, and she's trying to get half. And I guess, you know, she just doesn't really know the valuation of the business.
How long has your case been going on at this point?
About 5 months.
You know, here's a suggestion I have, for what it's worth, and something you might want to think about. And I don't know what your relationship with your wife is. It doesn't sound like it's too particularly good at this point. But, you know, if you like, you can call the station tomorrow or sometime and talk to Bill Helgeson and see if Bill will send you a CD of the program. And if your relationship is such with your wife that you feel you might want to give her a present of this CD and let her listen to this, you know, it may help to improve the situation with regard to your dissolution. Just a thought.
Chuck, I also would suggest that it's understandable sometimes that one of the parties doesn't want to go into mediation, and that's usually because of their fear of not being able to uphold or hold up their end of the bargaining process.
Because one person is more powerful than the other.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What I would suggest is that that hopefully she would be willing to at least interview one or two or three mediators to see whether that person has the strength to even out or to balance that power imbalance so that nobody can take advantage of the other person in the mediation process. That's a mediator's primary job, you know, to make sure that the parties are not bullying each other, that they are being open and honest, and that the balance of power is maintained.
Well, good luck to you, Matthew, but I'm serious about maybe you, if depending on the relationship you have with your wife, that you might want to, you know, say, hey, here's something you might want to listen to. I'm giving it to you as a present. See if it may be of some help to you. So good luck. Thanks for calling.
We're kind of far along in the process. Is it always an option to go to mediation?
I was actually going to address that, Matthew. I think I was hoping to give you a little bit of hope. I have a fair number of mediations where the folks were in litigation for 3 months, 6 months, a year, year and a half, and then they decided to come to mediation. So don't give up on that. If you truly believe in it and you think your wife may be willing to try it, keep suggesting it. And it wouldn't be the first mediation where one party didn't have a lawyer present and the other one did. There's nothing wrong with that. That can work.
And she's got nothing to lose, maybe something to gain. So good luck to you, Matthew.
Okay.
Take care. Thanks very much for calling. Here's a question that was brought into the studio. My ex-husband stopped paying his child support. He said he couldn't find work. I have now obtained a seek work order. How will it help me if he can't come up with a job? ? What should I do next? Do you have any comments on that, Commissioner Slabaugh?
Well, a seek work order simply means that he must make all good faith efforts to find a job. We all know in this particular economic situation how difficult that's going to be. If there is not a job out there for him, the court really can't do much more about it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, good faith efforts mean that he has to actually try to find a job.
And he's got to report back to the court with what he's done. Is that right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a tough issue these days. It's a common issue.
It must be a very tough issue. So thank you for the question, but there's no easy answer, unfortunately. But he has to, in good faith, try to find a job and then report back to the court what he has been doing. Leanne, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling about collaborative law. 6 years ago, my husband and I went to collaborative law, and we reached a reasonable decision, and that was that. However, since then, I've retired. I no longer have an income, and he's gotten married, and I understand through the grapevine that he's doing quite well financially.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, what can I do to bring us together again? I don't know if the collaborative law would still apply. When I've met with my own attorney, we've tried to get him in, but his attorney says he can't get him to come in.
Let me get some, while you're still there, Leanne, let me get some comments. One is, I'd like one of my guests at least to define for all of us what collaborative law is and the significance of that. And it sounds like, since you no longer are working, it sounds like perhaps you got very minimal spousal support through the collaborative law process, although I'm guessing. But let me get some comments from my guests on this. What comment do you have, Commissioner Slabaugh?
Collaborative law, in a nutshell, is a process where you and the other party, with your two attorneys and your experts, your forensic experts, people who are going to value the house, value the business, perhaps a mental health professional dealing with your children, you're all sitting around the table together and you're working things out together. There isn't what we would call a neutral person like a mediator or a judge in the room. It's just everybody together, collaborating together, and it requires a much more collaborative approach. You don't fight about anything. There's nobody who's for myself alone. We're here to deal with the best interest of everybody, including our kids. It's different from mediation in that the mediator is the neutral person in the room, and the mediator is assisting the parties to come to an agreement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As to her particular situation, your question about whether she was able to obtain spousal support in that process is a good one, because mm-hmm. if she signed away her spousal support, there's not a whole lot she can do about that now. If she didn't sign away her spousal support, then, of course, filing a motion will bring him to mm-hmm. the table.
Did you sign away your spousal support, Leanne?
No, I got spousal support, but at this time, being retired, it's not enough.
Ah.
Leanne, do you still talk with your ex-husband?
It's very hard to get in touch with him.
How about email?
Yeah.
Because you could, just a suggestion, but you could email him and say, look, I want to talk to you about this. I don't want to go the court route. I don't want to lawyer up mm-hmm. and spend a bunch of money on litigation, but I need to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. Please call me, and hopefully he'll do that.
You live in the same community still?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Are you still receiving any kind of spousal support under the agreement through collaborative law or not?
Yes, I am.
Are you?
It's not enough
okay.
to cover what I've
not
lost
enough.
Through retirement.
How long have you been retired, Leanne?
About 4 years.
Ah, okay. Well, it's time for you to be more, perhaps a little bit more aggressive and see if you can't move this along.
I found that most people want to avoid court at all costs.
Sure, yeah, so. And I think that it's never too late.
In other words...
Go ahead. What?
The collaborative agreement would still hold. But if he's unwilling to collaborate, then I have other avenues.
Well, if he's unwilling to collaborate and you have a provision in the marital settlement agreement, which I presume you have, and he's actually breaching it or breaking it, then you do have something to deal with.
Okay.
But you haven't seen an attorney, have you?
Well, I've been talking to my own attorney.
You have.
This.
Doesn't sound like you're getting very enthusiastic advice from your attorney.
No.
Well, I suggest... What community are you in? Don't name the attorney. What community?
Marin County.
Well, why don't you call the... Just for the heck of it, why don't you call the Marin County Bar Association Lawyer Referral Service? See if you can't make an appointment with someone who does family law for half an hour and get a feel for it. Also, have you ever called us on our Call a Lawyer night?
No, I haven't.
Well,
I've been waiting for this subject to come up.
All right. Here's what I would also suggest, because we need to light a Bunsen burner under you, not to hurt you, but to get you moving. And on the fourth Wednesday of this month, August 22nd, that Wednesday evening, I will have a number of attorneys here in the conference room at KALW, and most likely I will have a family law certified specialist, Janet Lee Frankel. I think Janet will be here. If not Janet, be somebody else. And you can call, no charge, no obligation whatsoever. They're here between 7 and 8 o'clock on August 22nd. And you can call and speak to a family law certified specialist and try to bounce some ideas on this person and see if it might help you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Chuck, can I add something
yeah, please.
To Leanne?
Oh, please.
You know, in collaborative law, if collaboration, if that collaborative process doesn't work, then normally your collaborative law attorney isn't going to be able to go with you to the next kind of process. That collaborative attorney is done with the process. That's part of the agreement about collaborative law.
Mm.
So if you're not able to bring him back to the table in a collaborative process, then you're going to have to find a new attorney
yeah.
anyway, more than likely. So I would suggest getting a second opinion at this point, as Chuck suggested, is a very good idea.
So good luck to you, Leanne.
Thank you so much.
Okay, take care now.
Okay, thank
bye-bye.
You.
Here's a question, another one brought into the studio. We married in Nevada with a prenuptial agreement I now feel is unfair. We are living apart now with my spouse in Washington State while I am in California. I wish we could revisit the terms of our prenup. What chance is there that mediation could help with this? We are, by the way, she says here, this is interesting. We are not legally separated.
Still married, it sounds
still,
like.
Still
it,
married.
Maybe
yeah.
not
yeah.
happily, but still married.
Certainly not happily. That sounds. That's what it sounds like to me. What thoughts do you have on that one, Greg?
This would be a great opportunity to use mediation to discuss what is upsetting this particular person with respect to the premarital agreement and what can be done about it.
Yeah.
And what can be done about it is they could enter into a postnuptial agreement that changes the terms of that prenup and hopefully puts them both in a better place and helps their marriage continue on, and that document gets put in a safe deposit box and never gets seen.
Well, there is hope, so give that a try. All right, we've got, all right. Let me give you the number again. We do have a few minutes left if you would like to call in. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. My guests are San Francisco Superior Court Family Law Commissioner Marjorie Slabaugh, retired. She now does private judging. She's also a certified specialist in family law. Her office is in Fremont. My other guest is Greg Maple, a certified specialist in family law, partner in the San Francisco law firm of Maple, DeLacy, and Musalem. I finally got it, huh?
Twice now.
Ooh, that's good. That's good. So if you have a question, a comment, or something, try not to be bashful, because if you keep waiting much longer and you do finally decide to call, it's too late. That's the problem. So the number again, 1-415-841-4134.
Chuck, one of the things we haven't talked about so far, which I experienced a great deal of while I was on the bench in San Francisco, was the issue of domestic violence.
Yes,
and
let's talk a little bit about that. Yeah,
and I'm wondering whether Greg has some comment about what he does with that issue in the mediation process.
When I learn of that, and I usually learn up front that that's been an issue, I quickly ask, do you feel safe and comfortable in the same room, same conference room? And if the answer is no, then we divide up from day one. And someone's in the conference room, someone's in another conference room or my office, and then I'm doing that shuttle diplomacy, caucus-style mediation back and forth.
Do you have, as an attorney, the responsibility, if you know that there is current domestic violence, do you have a responsibility to report that to the police? I know medical people do.
I don't think so.
No, okay. Okay. Because that's not a confidential communication. Yeah, I don't think.
I don't know.
I don't
Chuck,
think so.
Don't.
Do you have any comments on that, Commissioner?
No, we are not mandatory reporters.
You are not mandatory.
No,
okay.
For either
right.
child abuse or spousal abuse.
Yeah. Well, if someone has anger management problems, that's something certainly that you would hope that through mediation, that issue, which is a very significant issue, can actually be worked on and try to find some way of helping both the person who has the anger problem, as well as, of course, the victim of the anger problem.
And sometimes you can convince that individual to seek that anger management counseling and why that's good, not just for him or her, but also the children and everybody else concerned.
There are some mediators who would not be a mediator in that situation.
Yes, I can understand that. It's very tough.
Yeah, even if you separate the parties, there's still that power imbalance that is extremely difficult to overcome.
There's a fear, overcome. A very serious fear factor.
Yes.
I would think, and doesn't make for, let's say, what you have talked about, a trusting relationship in terms of working out the other issues in the marriage. All right, I see we do have a couple of people. Martin, if you can get us the next name, that would be very good so that we can take that person and get going on this. And that is Chris. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi there.
Hi.
I had a quick question. I guess I'm going through the process of either a divorce or mediation, and my wife is in another state, and I'm here in California now. with our two children, and she has basically decided to move on with her life.
And leave the children with you?
Yeah. And so I came out to California for my child who has special needs, and that was during this last year. Now this year, my other child is also joining us now as she pursues her professional career. So I've been a stay-at-home dad for 16 years. So, you know, it's basically what my question is how do you proceed when you're unemployed and you don't have a savings or an income and you're depending on that other partner who has, like you said earlier, the power or the upper hand financially?
Is your wife sending you any money both for child support as well as spousal support or not?
She is. She has been sharing a bank account for the last 20 years, but as she's making her, you know, move towards her future, she's limiting what we're getting. So, you know, like, for example, just yesterday, you know, her check was deposited, but she took out $2,000. So I have no idea what that went for her and what it's going to, you know, it's the first of the month, so what that would actually mean for us over the month. So
what county are you in, Chris?
I'm in Alameda.
Alameda County.
It sounds like you don't have an actual court order regarding child support or spousal support?
No. See, we came out to California for my child to go to a special school here in California. So that was the kind of mission that we were on. Then over the period of the year, you know, we didn't, like, separate for that. You know, we didn't separate our marriage with that in mind. When we came to California, it was for the child. As the year went on, we decided to bring my other child out here because he's starting high school. So, you know, overall, it was for the mission of the children. But once the children were out here, then my wife decided, oh, I want to send you the dogs, too, and I no longer want to be married to you.
Uh-huh. Chris, did you say you're in mediation right now?
No. We're just, we're starting. I mean, you know, it's it's kind of a one day at a time now. We're just kind of, I'm trying to keep positive so that, you know, the discussions can be at least, you know, we haven't spoken much on the phone, but at least we're emailing.
Chris, here's the problem on the program right now. We're just about over with time. What basic comment do you have for him?
I would give you, Chris, is if your wife is willing to mediate, get in with a mediator as soon as you can, and that's an issue to be discussed right up front, right
away. Do you do long-distance mediation?
Yes, in fact, I didn't mention it earlier, but I've had mediations where it's all on the phone because folks have lived in, they live in other countries or other states, so sure.
Right.
So I think this is something, Chris, that you want to take the next move on.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you very much for calling. I want to thank both of you for joining me on the program.
Thank you, Chuck.
And talking to our very valued listeners. And I know that you've done your best to try to give them some direction to help them. Thank you very much, Commissioner Marjorie Slabaugh, San Francisco Superior Court Family Law Commissioner, retired and now doing private judging. Thank you very much for joining us. Nice to see you. And Greg Makepeace, thank you very much for also joining us.
Thank you.
Certified specialist in family law, partner in the San Francisco law firm of Maple, DeLacy, and Musallam. Got it again, huh?
Third time.
This is great. Your Legal Rights production staff members are program engineer Joanne Marr and production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Family Law Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, the California Applicants Attorneys Association, and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Speaking of the California Applicants Attorneys Association, next week we're going to be talking about workers' compensation laws, workers' rights, and issues. My guests are members of the California Applicants Attorneys Association and also certified specialists in workers' compensation law, Alice O'Sullivan, Lester Friedman, and Gil Stein. I hope you join us then. Thanks very much for listening. I'm Chuck Finney.